Cambridge, empezando a las 7:30. También el grupo Club Delf, que es toca una variedad extrema, van a estar en el Lizard Lounge, en la área de Porter Square, Cambridge, empezando a las 10 esta noche. Y si le interesa más el estilo tango, va a haber una milonga en Union Square, en Somerville, bien al ladito de Cambridge, empezando a las 8 de la noche. Infelizmente yo no tengo mucha información acerca de la milonga. Yo sé que va a ser en el centro de tango que se encuentra en la calle Bow. Uh-huh. Pero fuera de eso no tengo ni contacto ni nada, perdóname. Tomorrow, Saturday, Joyful Noise, a concert featuring the Harlem Gospel Choir honoring the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. That will be happening at the Sanders Theater in Harvard Square, 7:30 p.m. And that is featured by the Cambridge Arts Council. Eso va a ser mañana. Empezando a las 7:30 de la noche, un grupo de Harlem, el coro de gospel de Harlem. Empezando a las 7:30. Ah, ya lo dije, ¿verdad?
Sí. 7:30.
Ah, no, a las 7:30, va.
7:30, el gospel de Harlem.
Oh, sí.
En memoria de Martin Luther King.
Exactamente, en Harvard Square. Así es. Ok, bien. Continuamos. Tenemos algunas cosas políticas que van a pasar también, ¿verdad que sí?
Claro, como siempre. So, this Wednesday, 21st, there's going to be a teaching with panelists at the Palestine Cultural Center for Peace at 41st Quint Avenue in Austin, Massachusetts, here, featuring Noam Chomsky, Asaf Kifuri, and Ahmed Shoki. And, well, it's pretty much, you want to go, it starts at 6:30, and the bazaar opens at 6:30, and the teach-in starts at 7. So there's going to be a little bazaar, I say, for collecting some funds. Also, this is happening again on Wednesday, the 21st. El miércoles 21, si quieren aprender un poquito más de lo que está pasando en la situación en Gaza y apoyar con compras en un bazar, vayan al Palestine Cultural Center for Peace en la calle, en la avenida Quint 41 en Austin, Massachusetts, aquí nada más, cerquita. Este miércoles 21, recuerden, a las 7 es el teaching, a las 6:30 es el bazar, y van a estar ahí Noam Chomsky, Asaf Kufuri, Ahmed Shawki, que son profesores y editores de la zona de aquí. Si quieren aprender un poquito lo que está pasando en Gaza, cómo podemos ayudar, cómo envolverse en este asunto. Y also on Gaza.
Y also
in Gaza, there is going to be a Gaza Forum in Arlington this next Friday, next weekend. We're going to announce it today because it's going to be happening at 7:30 p.m., which we announce it by the end of our show. It's way too late.
Sí.
If you want to go, it's going to be way too late. So it's in Arlington, Lexington, United for Justice with Peace. You're going to have an educational forum in what's happening right now in Gaza. Again, Friday, January 23rd, 7:30 p.m. in the Calvary Methodist Church, 300 Massachusetts Avenue.
Again, bueno.
Sí, en español esto. Otro foro acerca de Gaza, esto va a ser en Arlington, el próximo viernes 23 a las 7:30 empieza. Esto va a ser en la Iglesia Metodista del Calvario,
sí.
En la calle, en Avenida Massachusetts 300, en Arlington, no aquí en Boston, en Arlington, a las 7:30. ¿Qué hay más, Amy?
Yo creo que eso es todo, hombre. Creo que ya, ¿verdad?
Bien.
Eso es una cantidad de cosas.
Sí.
Así que, bueno, vamos a poner, vamos a dejar que nuestros compañeros entren ya.
La música para los seres humanos.
Sí. The music for human beings is up next. And we'll go out with our wonderful Argentinian music here. We'll see you and hear you next week. Ha sido un gusto. Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la próxima, señores y señoras.
Chao. Of course, this is WMBR Cambrije.
Yeah. فمرحبا في Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. We are fortunate to have with us today Aurora. Aurora, welcome.
Thank you.
Aurora is a speech vocalist.
A vocal therapist.
A vocal therapist.
Yes, that's right. I don't deal with speech problems, but I fix the problems in the soul through verbal expressions.
You specialize in treating the vocals of a person, or treating a person based on their vocalization.
Yes, it's sort of a loopback. I can treat their vocal difficulties and use their vocal difficulties to understand the inner turmoil. But I can also use vocal difficulties in order to bring out the darkness within.
So by making very specific sounds, you are able to treat people.
Yes, that's right. Sounds such as laughter or screaming, or perhaps the chittering of a squirrel.
Or the bang of a whale.
Yes, although that one is a more advanced type of sound.
Our listeners may appreciate the vocal therapy that occurs during Music for Human with our whales baying constantly in the background. For the advanced listener, we hope this will serve as a form of therapy.
Interestingly, the sound of whales resonates within the third vocal chamber, which releases feelings of anger, leaving only calmness and soothed feelings.
Very soothing feelings of contentment and serenity. Which brings us, of course, to the weather segment, our New Age weather segment, which we've been doing for the last few weeks. Our highly esteemed Professor Levine instructed us that it would be beneficial to give a forecast to those attempting to meditate regarding the various vapors and spiritual interference that they could expect. So, according to the modern current forecast, on Wednesday of next week, the coming Wednesday, this Wednesday, we expect 27 degree weather. Tomorrow, of course, being Saturday, we expect 22 degree weather. And in between Saturday and Wednesday, the weather goes all the way up to 30 degrees Sunday, 27 degrees Tuesday, and 32 degrees right in the middle there on Monday.
Such an interesting fluctuation.
Well, it's really difficult to predict the weather. It does fluctuate quite a bit. Of course, on Sunday we can expect some precipitations of a salty variety. And yet on the remaining days from now until the next spiritual adventure with Music for Human, one may anticipate the baleful eye of the sun mocking you with promises of glorious, life-giving radiation. This winking eye teases you because the angle at which the radiation strikes your body is not sufficient, and most of the radiation is reflected. So we're very cold, and yet there is light. Sort of cosmic irony. So, good luck meditating.
Well, perhaps meditating indoors with the window shut would reduce the aggravation caused by the baleful eye of the sun.
I think it also helps if you have carpeting.
And that would also help with the salty rain. Capturing the essence of the sweating earth in the carpet.
The sweating earth?
Yes.
I've noticed that with the appropriate focus, footwear, and carpeting, that many people experience little New Age shocks when they reach in their friends' mouths and touch their fillings. Have you ever experimented with that? I think, as I've pointed out in previous shows, I avoid wearing footwear because I like my feet to breathe. I believe the feet are the antennae of the spiritual self on many levels. So,
such an interesting thought, but why do you think then that wearing footwear would lead to such a spiritual shock?
Well, for example, if you are walking around and it's winter time, very nice dry air, and you were to pick up some small particles on your shoes, these could travel up into your finger, and then you reach into your friend's mouth, touch their filling, and a little energetic pulse passes from your finger to his filling and causes him to leap and perhaps clamp down on your finger in pain.
Do you think the transmission of such particles leads to some sort of spiritual transmission on another plane?
You know, I also somewhat object to the use of the word plane here.
The plane other spiritual sphere, then.
Well, what? Other spiritual spheres, like a spiritual sphere of influence or confluence. Well, for the curious listener, we are listening to the Farfield album Dust and Glass. Seems really terrifying, especially we're talking about tiny particles influencing you and leaping into your fillings.
And glass spheres.
There it goes again. Well, I mean, in terms of vocal therapy, Aurora, I mean, how would you rate this? I have a fairly strong constitution. I admit to being somewhat terrified.
I agree. This is...
She's now, no one can see her, but she's so overcome with feelings of disturbance and fear, she's unable to speak. Let me gesture at our engineer. Switch it off.
Certainly not a sound that I would use to soothe someone who is distraught. And the bang of the whales comes back to us now.
Thanks to our engineer Ali for rescuing us from that very unusual experience. It's odd there because the sound of the whales became very ominous and terrifying.
Well, they are projected onto a different sound. That can happen. It happens sometimes in my practice. That's why vocal therapy needs to be done by a specialist.
So the casual vocalist should not attempt self-therapy.
It may lead to the sort of disturbances which we have just experienced.
Mm. And what sorts of exercises does the vocal therapy involve?
Well, in the beginning, we have vocal warm-ups, which include those that are done in any choir, just to balance your voice with your body. And that's the purpose of it in a choir and in vocal therapy as well. But later on the experiences melt into meditation, where I light candles and have soft cushions on the floor and allow my members to relax in any way possible and then have them meditate and then stimulate their vocal.
You guide them in the meditation?
I do.
And also, what sorts of what sorts of images do you like to use when you are guiding the meditation?
Oh, that depends heavily. That depends heavily on the patient. Sometimes it depends on their meditative balance. There are states in which you meditate, and there are pictures that you see in order to put yourself into a soothed state. Some people see water, some people see large expanses of desert with their favorite camel. And some people see clouds or their loved ones.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you mentioned camels, and of course, this evokes instantly in my mind images of warmth and yet also some of fear. I remember my beautiful Jamal. I named my camel Jamal. Very close words, he was a very lovely creature, beautiful, handsome, swift, strong, and beautiful and handsome. But he really, really did not like cold weather. So every time I walk barefoot in the Boston frigidity, I am reminded of Jamal, and I think about how upset he would be if he were here.
Well, and so that's an excellent image for you because it evokes all these images and all these feelings. So in a therapeutic sense, envisioning your loved one, your Jamal, is a perfect example of what you should do. And then allow your vocal cords to take over your body and to express what you're feeling deep within. And that is the only way to express fullness. Well, I will not say the only way, but it's an excellent method.
There are many paths.
Of course. In the vocal sense, it is an excellent way to get in touch with your inner self.
Yeah, I've used my memories of Jamal for focusing on meditation in the past, and when I walk through the snow, again barefooted, so it's quite frigid. It's a very painful experience. I focus on Jamal and I say to myself, I do not say Dr. Jalis Sakran is unhappy or in pain, suffering from frostbite or exposure. I say Jamal is very angry, and this helps me. So if anyone would like to call in and share with us perhaps your images that you use to cope with the weather, the spiritual bleakhood, our number is 617-253-8810.
Do you know what happened to Jamal in the end?
We ate Jamal.
Interesting. So he is a part of you.
Yeah, I like to think of him that way.
Would you like to... I see. The engineer indicates that we have our first caller.
Caller, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Welcome to the air.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
What is your name, caller?
My name's Alex. Nice to meet you, too.
Nice to meet you, Alex.
So, Alex, what images, if any, do you use to cope with the weather?
Well, the Native Americans used to do something where every year in the winter they would take children who are coming of age, boys, and dump them in the icy river every day. And slowly it would get colder and colder, and at a certain point in January or February, they'd make them, like, do a dive down to the bottom of this thing and, like, take a piece of rock or, like, just a piece of dirt from the bottom of the river, and then they'd come drag the kids out, and that, like, piece of rock or whatever they found would be, like, their medicine, and they'd keep that in their medicine bag, and that would give them power for, like, for war or for, you know, doing hard work or whatever it was. And so what they tell the kids to do when they were doing this every day is just, like, visualize a piece of fire in their stomach and in their heart whenever they were doing this, and this flame would keep them warm. And so I do this when I'm going to the grocery store and it's cold in the parking lot.
So you visualize fire?
Yeah, like, I kind of imagine, like, my whole body's on fire, like self-immolation is going on me.
And that's so interesting, because in general that would be, I think, conventionally regarded as an unpleasant experience.
Right. I mean, if you do it wrong, it can really hurt, but you have to, you know, focus on the warmth as opposed to the pain.
Have you ever found yourself taking off clothing in the parking lots?
Well, sometimes when I get in the grocery store, I do, you know, I take off my jacket and my shoes sometimes, because, you know, it's possible to overdo it a lot. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, I like to be barefoot as much as I can, but sometimes they'll kick me out of, you know, department stores and coffee shops for doing that. They don't like that in the West. It's really a shame.
It's interesting because in many cultures, wearing your shoes indoors is considered dirty.
Right, and that, I do consider that dirty. My feet are much cleaner than my shoes, at least before I take my shoes off.
Yeah, and this point about the stone is also really interesting. One day when Jamal and I were journeying, I was writing all of my positions and memories of the journey in a small book made of paper. And Jamal, at some point, decides to eat the book out of... Perhaps because it was there. Well, you know, he was a camel. You know, I'm sure he could have handled not eating my book, but he ate it, and there, you know, I was bookless. And he, after several days, well, let's just say I came into a stone, which formerly was my book.
Oh.
And this stone I kept for years. until finally, one day, I was in a shrine in India, and I lost my stone there. I used to carry this everywhere with me, especially after Jamal was eaten, as one of my keepsakes and memories of Jamal. And I lost the stone, and for years thereafter, I really pitied the loss. But then, after a decade, I returned to this shrine, fully expecting that the stone was gone, and only there for its own sake, you know, without any expectation. And someone had found the stone and put it on a shelf, and behind a stack of pamphlets, and there it stood, and so I was able to collect my stone, much to my surprise. And I'm sure that I must say I was pleased, unexpectedly surprised.
I bet that stone has a lot of special energy for you. Do you ever meditate with it?
I do meditate with it. It smells funny, but particularly when it's cold, as I've said, and I find it difficult to focus because the air and the wind and the water and the ice, they are so distracting, you know. And I really learned to meditate in the sand, where it just doesn't get this cold. I take that stone and put it on one of my feet, and helps. Remember Jamal, angry.
Do you ever
Jamal.
Get it to vibrate with you, like a crystal?
I one time put it in the microwave.
And it vibrated.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, see, the thing with that is sometimes objects can remember their past histories. You know, that's why people, you know, hold on to photo albums and teddy bears and you know, what have you, because those objects actually remember that stuff that's in the past and that you might have forgotten about. So, you know, that's, you know, and so the things can make you feel better because they remember.
Absolutely.
What those times were like.
I've anchored it. Well, you know, just speaking about the stone, I the smell of Jamal really comes back very pungently.
So it's not a good smell?
Well, I'm not sure how close you've been to a camel.
I saw a video of a camel chugging a whole bottle of, it was basically a handle of Captain Morgan's rum. At a frat party. That's the closest I've been. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Camels are, well, Jamal would never have had rum. He's very dignified, very intelligent, and he didn't like alcohol.
That's too bad.
I tend to tell my patients to bring such objects with them to therapy. Even when they smell bad, sometimes the smells bring back memories stronger than just a vision or a sound.
Well, the location of the smelling center in the brain is very close to the memory center. So proximity implies that the smell can trigger a very vivid recollection, more so than a touch or a photograph.
So how exactly do you use those objects in voice therapy?
Well, it helps bring my patients into a familiar state, or if they are upset about a particular thing, it helps them concentrate on that object, and thus the vocal expressions will reflect exactly how they're feeling.
It's sort of, I guess there are two issues there, that first of all, when you're undergoing any sort of therapy, you have to accept that you've lost a sense of self-reliance, and so you may be uncomfortable, so it will restore your comfort. And secondly, that that it will help help the Aurora more correctly examine the patient because it instantly puts them in a familiar setting. So that, you know, all that unusual feelings are gone. Let's throw another caller into the mix.
No,
stay with us.
Okay.
Caller 2, welcome to the air. Well, let's try another caller. Caller 3.
We want you.
Oh, Arthur. Marhaban.
Maslam.
It's so pleasing to hear your voice.
Yeah, really digging the program tonight.
Thank you, Arthur. How is your journeying?
Oh, it was great. I'm on another journey now. I'm having a barbecue.
A barbecue?
I hope you're not eating any animals.
You know, my friend was like, you bring the links and I'll bring the brew. And, you know, toss them on the grill, kick them back.
Sorry, how does alcohol vibe with the spiritual life for you? I find it's not very... I would just like your take on that.
Well, no, I think it's related to tonight's message on harmony, and kind of my word would be balance. Just, you know, kind of like a seesaw is in a state of imbalance until you have that perfect point of balance.
So balancing enlightenment with getting drunk?
No, you know.
How do you do that?
You know, pretty much cheap brew or links, any one of those on their own would leave you with some kind of bloating or I don't, you know, general malaise, but the two together have kind of a balancing effect. When you down some links and quaff brew, that's kind of like a what's the word?
Beautiful. You know,
it's kind of a detoxifying laxative effect.
It just lets you let go of all the bad toxins.
You quaff the brew and then the links just burst right through your system.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, I in particular do not use alcohol in my spiritual practice, which of course extends out into my life.
I oftentimes rub alcohol on the bellies of my patients.
I don't normally. Yeah,
when you inject them with something, you want to have it clean.
But it's you know, it's not really my place to say. I mean, you know, what works for someone may work for someone else, and, or not. I mean, again, I wouldn't eat anything my camel wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
Except for himself.
Yeah. In the past, I'd never come close to the links either. But I think this could be big. This could be the next thing since rain precipitation healing. Very detoxifying.
So, Arthur, if you'd like, we have Aurora here, who, in addition to being a vocal therapist, is also a tarot card practitioner. So we could perhaps do a reading for your Lynx Brew combination.
Harmonious.
Oh, interesting. Can you do that for objects? I thought it was just for living beings.
Well, as there's a living being connected to this object, I can channel Arthur Rainbow Beam.
Okay.
So it's
really
about the interaction of Sayyidina Beam with the Lynx Brew mixture. So Arthur, of course, you know to imagine yourself cutting the deck with your dominant hand.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Did you say paying back debt?
No, to cut the deck with your dominant hand in your mind.
Oh, you probably should pay back your debt too.
Okay, well, given the market, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know you didn't say that. But that is good advice. Okay, yeah, I'm imagining it.
And please tell me when you're satisfied with your cut.
Just about now.
Okay, I shall draw cards for the process of links and brews.
Uh-huh.
So the traditional arrangement that Aurora is subscribing to is cards for the past, present, and future.
Yeah.
So, Aurora, please draw the cards.
Okay. For the past card, I have...
That one.
The Ten of Wands. Which shows great amounts of labor, and not particularly in the most efficient sense. That perhaps
that's probably the work of your digestive system.
Not quite. This one would reflect before you actually eat the links and brews. It probably refers to setting up the barbecue and getting all of your friends together.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for your present...
And just a small sort of side point. Links are imbibed, or is it reversed? They are imbibed, and the brews are eaten in slices.
No. Other way.
So you slice the links.
Right.
And imbibe them. You imbibe the brews.
That's right, yeah.
Brews meaning alcoholic beverages.
Right, you check
it. I see. I thought it was coffee.
No. Mm-hmm. That would probably have a similar effect, because... lots of people will have to poop pretty soon after they drink coffee.
Well, yeah. I have had a lot of coffee, and I remember... I thought it was particularly bad coffee, which you would slice to eat.
Yeah.
Anyway...
Maybe she freezed it, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
pudding.
I'm not sure. It was very poorly brewed. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. Aurora, please continue the reading.
For the... card which represents the links and the brews being within the body, or the present card I have pulled, the Ten of Swords, which depicts a man lying face down on the ground with 10 swords plunging into his body. Interestingly enough, leading from the mouth in a trail down the intestinal tract all the way to the exit of the links and bruises, perhaps refers to a rather painful digestion which you might encounter soon.
Yes, there is sometimes some pain.
So I like how
there is kind of a transient unpleasantness. The links forcefully like a cannonball fire through your system.
Yeah, it's but sort
like
of
the pain,
okay,
no gain. You know,
well, the links have substance. They have brawn. You know, they're the cannonball.
Callers, I'd like to draw your attention and to our listeners that both of these involve tens, so that we have 10 wands which become 10 swords, which of course is the transformation from food into swords.
How many links are you preparing, Arthur?
Oh, we got a 12 pack. Got six grilling right now.
So perhaps two of them will be ruined before the end.
It's really cold outside out here too. And it's good to just stand warm by the grill.
Yeah, I recommend donating two of the links and two of the brews to a local fraternity or camel.
Uh-huh.
If there are any camels nearby.
Oh, the future card I've just pulled is the Four of Wands, which depicts great happiness and felicity. And it has four wands with a wreath hanging between them, and two people in the middle looking extremely cheerful with flowers and wonderful clothing.
So this must be the post-digestion celebration, which commonly occurs after the extremely painful passing of the sword.
Which shows that the purging will probably be successful.
Well, Arthur, I it seems that the cards deliver their blessings on the combination. Ultimately, although they do seem to predict some distress, you know, the prognostications of indigestion are there.
Right.
They are manifest.
Oh, that's the purge comes with
zombies.
Cost. Zombies?
Well, I certainly don't recommend.
Hey, I got to run. My links are grilling. I'll call you back.
Ma'a salama, Arthur.
I thought you said zombies.
Yeah,
I didn't really think there were zombies there.
I would not recommend consuming zombies. That would not end well.
Oh, no, I thought there were zombies at his barbecue. I mean, I didn't think that. That was just my first, stupid reaction to it. I remember what I was going to say. I just saw this YouTube video of this man, after we were talking about, alcohol. I'm against alcohol personally and all drugs and, caffeine and, most toothpaste. I'm a vegan. Anyway, but there's this very interesting man from Alabama who posts a lot of YouTube videos, and he claims to be enlightened. I think he has kind of his own view of what enlightenment means, but his path to enlightenment is crystal meth. And he used to own his own meth lab, and he did enough meth so that all of a sudden he was lying in the bathroom of this trailer park, covered with, urine and fecal matter and mixtures of the two and meth and, all types of stuff. He was scratching at himself, and all of a sudden there was this big black hole that he saw in the middle of his vision, and he crawled towards it, kind of hoping to die. And he came out the other side, and he was just in his trailer and in the bathroom, and it was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. It was like everything was sparkling with this energy. And, he was running around and touching things, and he was just so excited to be alive, and he didn't care that it smelled and that, his wife had just left him or whatever the story was or whatever. He was just so happy. And so he started spreading this this gospel, I guess, through the internet, through YouTube. And you can search for it. I think Alabama Meth Enlightenment probably would get you there. But it's really fascinating, I didn't know you could use drugs to get to enlightenment, and now I'll probably try that at some point.
Yeah, I certainly would not encourage any of the listeners to,
Oh, no. Only people who are very serious about spiritual practice.
Well, not even that. I mean, there's an easy way and a short way, and the short way does not necessarily lead you to the correct result. Much as in Star Wars, there was a dark side and a light side.
Yeah, it's not easy for me to make an argument there, but I think it would be good if all people deeply considered their actions, because, some things are irreversible.
This is true. And, the man doesn't, he probably has 4 or 5 teeth.
Yeah,
not reversible, because he doesn't have health insurance.
I used to drive around with a group of alcoholics, and one day we were...
I hope you were driving.
certainly, of course. And I'm a teetotaler.
So yeah, me too.
After one bout of particularly vicious drinking, the group of men, we were in a wooded, area in Germany, close to the Schwarzwald, which we've mentioned many times before, where I've really enjoyed some very deep and beautiful spiritual exploration. But my friends were ejected from a local bar because of such advanced intoxication. And they had become, their state of mind was such that you understand where the term liquid courage may have originated. So they began having a contest, which I think may be called the manliest man contest. Who is the most manly man? And...
The logging... The lumberjack competition, where you cut lumber and you have to, carry trees across the lawn as fast as you can.
Well, no. I mean, I'm sure that's one form that the competition may take, but my friends were...
The only form.
They they would hurt themselves, and whoever could hurt themselves the most.
Oh, the pain competitions.
Yeah, the and
pain Olympics.
They were so. I was unable to stop them. These drunken friends were not so drunk that I could prevent them from doing this, but they retrieved a chainsaw from the truck, and one of my friends...
Sounds like lumberjack competitions to me.
One of my friends cut his own foot off, and...
But he won.
No, someone else, to prove he was manlier than the man who cut off his foot...
Yeah?
Cut off his own head.
Now that's dedication.
Perhaps, but, you know, one has to wonder if... Well, certainly he lost his head, and he was decapitated.
Winning is sometimes losing.
Yeah, I mean, the German doctors tried, but head reattachment is still a thing of the future.
Yeah, I guess that's still,
so,
5 or 10 years away.
I mean, one must ask if it was really worth it.
Well, yeah, probably,
I mean, you know, I have no, I cannot say what...
I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, he was probably very happy that he'd won.
Well,
I will say that.
Another statement, too, about the meth is that teeth are a vital part to our spiritual health, and meth does cause you to lose teeth.
Oh, yeah. It makes you lose teeth like nothing else. Like, you know... Like Captain Crunch and Skittles combined.
Callers, let's take another caller and see what can be added.
You know, I'd rather not.
Well, stay on the air. Caller 5, you are on the air.
Hello there. This is Rufus T. Now, if head reattachment is impossible, then they got a problem with Ted Williams because they're keeping his head on ice. So he may not be a batting champion no more. As far as being a vegan, you know, some very good experiences came out of, you know, the Indians believe that peyote and mushrooms is a spiritual experience, and I happen to agree with them. So, y'all have a good night, and Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you for your contribution, Rufus. I believe it was Rufus.
D is the green.
Well, you know, I
D everything.
I have not, I have avoided experiencing many of these things. I realize when I say that, you know, cutting your foot off with a chainsaw is permanent, that, you know, the intelligent...
Well, I mean, if you put on ice quick enough, you know. He lost his foot?
He did lose his foot.
Oh, you know. Terrible.
Yeah, it's, it just took too long, I think, for the doctors to get to the bottom of the forest. Well, what I was going to say was that, you know, coming on the show every week alters me in a permanent way also, you know, but somehow I feel like it's a more positive experience.
You keep your feet.
Than losing my feet, precisely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know, I've never done meth before, but, you know, if I have to drink some green tea to move my experience forward, you know, that might be something to consider. I probably won't do that. I don't really like the idea of using chemicals to alter my state of mind, but, you know, a lot of people do it, and, you know, I'm not a total party pooper. I know how to have fun, so maybe at some point I'll try that. Probably not.
Yeah, I find it sort of risky. I mean, again, about my friend with the foot. It's, I mean, the German doctors are excellent, very, very good vascular surgeons, but my friend was drunk enough that he actually misplaced his foot.
Yeah, that happened.
And
I lost my wallet once. It
making reattachment very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in my high school days, you know, at this particularly rowdy party, I had about 4 drinks, and I, you know, I was blacked out. I didn't know who I was or where I was, and I woke up in the morning in my own bed, with all my clothes on, and I didn't have my wallet. You know, it gets crazy. So, I mean, that's why I'm very firmly, you know, only the natural things that grow straight out of the ground go in my body now. Except for other human beings, but that's another story.
Well, they don't exactly grow straight from the ground either.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, I allow that exceptions in that realm.
So you do eat human beings?
No. I was talking about another way of, you know, getting human beings inside me, if you know what I mean.
You mean spiritual experiences?
Yes. A lot of them are very spiritual. I just got a copy of Karma Sutra.
The Karma Sutra.
The Karma Sutra, right.
It's, for the listeners that don't know, a volume of spiritual exercises to improve your karma.
Right. And there are all these great positions in it for me and my, I guess she's my girlfriend. She, you know, we hang out a lot, so. But, we, you know, there's a lot of great spiritual exercises there, and, you know, the amount of times that I've seen God, you know, when practicing that stuff is like everything else combined times infinity, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there are definitely things that if you have difficulty meditating, there are many exercises that one can do to improve your spiritual exposure or sensitivity. It's certainly possible.
There's this great movie called Threesome, which is actually on Comcast On Demand for free right now, and I think that really exemplifies, you know, finding different ways to find your spirituality. And basically it's about, you know, Lara Flynn Boyle is this girl and two boys both fall in love with her in college and they share the same suite and it gets wacky and wild. But they came away from it with this great understanding of the big picture of the life that they live in and, you know, the cosmic reality of their love for this hot young poet. And you know, I cried several times throughout it, and, you know, you can really see that college can really be a place where you can figure out your spot in the cosmos.
Well, caller,
you can treat it right.
Alex, thank you again for calling. Unfortunately,
Alice,
we are out of time.
Thank you.
So, once again, thank you, Aurora, for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me. Do we have time to end on a vocal exercise?
Perhaps. Let me, of course, say thank you to our listeners and callers from Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human Beings, which is on 7 p.m. every Friday on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Love to the infinite power from us. Ma'asarama. Thank you.
Four points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.